This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Abba Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the Voice of Truth broadcast originates. The Old Trailblazer originates. We have our 11 o'clock service on Sunday, Bible school, worship hour, Wednesday night, Sunday night, all those on the internet, live streaming. And now we have Radio Missions Radio, a new facility that we have that you can hear all over the world if you have a computer. And this is the Old Trailblazer, Pastor Pendarvis, kind of weary this morning, Monday morning. Yes, had a gracious day yesterday. The Lord blessed us. And I praise the Lord for each one of you who hear these messages and let me know that you're listening and where you're listening from. And it just gives me encouragement. I like encouragement, don't you? Don't you like to be patted on the back once in a while? The Old Trailblazer does. I like for folks to say, you know, I appreciate the broadcast. Don't pump out our chest and all those things. No, I'm talking about the reality that folks appreciate good, sound gospel preaching. And I know that I do. I can recognize almost immediately when I hear a preacher, pastor, evangelist. I can recognize, I believe you can, when some first sincerity. There's a great need now of sincerity in our pulpits. We have so much going on that I don't want to get hung up on this morning, but we have so many folks who are preaching for their money, their good salaries now. I read in the paper where this great evangelist, so-called son of a great evangelist especially, drawing $800,000 a year salary. Well, my friend, that's not the way the Lord operates. I know it takes money, and I believe pastors should be paid. The Old Trailblazer doesn't take a salary from Radio Mission. Never have. The Lord blessed me many years ago with a successful business that I retired from, and gave me a small income that I'm able to survive, and I appreciate that. It's been a blessing to me not to have to take a salary out of this ministry, but I believe pastors ought to be paid. Let's put it like that, but not exorbitantly. But we coming back this Monday morning. We began last week a study on the soon coming of our Lord. That's the way I want to call it. Folks can say whatever they want to, second coming, all those things, But I just call it the soon coming. The soon coming of our blessed Lord. We saw there the fact of his coming. Now, today we want to begin on the certainty. Don't you like to be sure? Don't you like to be certain on things? Everywhere you turn today, the second coming, the soon coming of our Lord, is denied and made fun of and laughed at and scoffed. It's no longer the blessed hope of the church. Oh, my friend, we have gotten away. We've bedraggled the truth down so much that we folks go to service now, go to church now. They don't go to hear of that gracious thought, the Lord's soon coming. They go now to be entertained with all of the petty things that goes on. They have movies in the church house. They have cantatas and plays and those things. And I'm not going to get on to those things at this time. But, my friend, no longer is the blessed hope of the church looking for the Lord. Looking for the Lord. Do you hear anybody in your church speaking of the Lord's coming soon? I tell my folks here, I don't do a good job of it, but I tell folks, look up. Look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. That's our hope that the Lord is coming, and I believe coming soon. I've told folks recently, I believe I'll still be living when the Lord comes. That may be a stretch. But we don't know. No one knows. Not even the Lord knew when he was coming back to earth. No. Listen. But the church now being married to the world, loving the world, fashioning herself after the world, following after the world, why should she look for the return of the Lord? But bless the Lord, those who are married to Christ are looking for his coming. And we can say with the Apostle Paul that we love his appearing. Now, let me stop here for just a moment. I know that I speak to a lot of folks, church members, religious people. I know that. What is your hope? Up there in Sweetwater, Tennessee, in Nashville, Tennessee, in Knoxville, Memphis, up there in Kalamazoo, Michigan, Yazoo City, wherever. My friend, what is your hope? Is it to just live a long life and put away money for your children's education and those kind of things? Is that your hope? My friend, no. God's child hope is the soon coming of the Lord, to see the Lord. I know that we live day by day in a fleshly world. I know that. We have to live and feed our families and tend to our business and take care of those things. But my friend, that's not our eternal hope, to live as long as we can. You know, man is living longer now, they say. And they used to, they claim it's because of a lot of things. But I believe, my own personal feelings is, I was raised on a farm and worked hard all my life. And my dad did. And Grandpa and them did. I believe folks are living longer now because they don't work hard. You know, my dad cut logs in the woods, and his dad did. And they didn't live long. They didn't live to 105. Saw a lady the other day, lived 105 years old, still driving her car. I hope I don't meet her on the highway. But my friend, that's not my hope, to live a long life. My only hope is that I might be up and about my Father's business as long as He leaves me here to give out the gospel. I know that the Lord ordains that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness unto men. But my friend, the Lord ordained it. That's how men are saved. The scriptures tell us, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what we're doing here. We call our broadcast on Sunday, "The Voice of Truth." That's right, "The Voice of Truth." And we are criticized for that. I might have told you, I've told someone, I had a man wrote me from over there in Alabama somewhere. He started off his letter by saying, "Since you're the voice of truth." You could smell the sarcasm automatically as soon as I opened the envelope. You can tell it, my friend. He said, "Since you're the voice of truth, I have a question for you. But before I ask it, I'll tell you, I have a college education, a BA and a PA and a MA and a whatever, and a PhD pending. But my question is, Trailblazer, who was Cain's wife?" And I read the letter over two or three times slowly, and I saw the sarcasm there, and I saw the criticism there. And I wrote him back, and I said, "Mister, I don't ever answer your kind of letters. It just takes up my time. But I'll tell you, my dad taught me that a fool could ask a question that a smart man couldn't answer. But I can answer your question. Cain's wife was his sister." Now, my friend, you can roll that over your heart and mind all you want to. Cain's wife was his sister. You know, other women on the earth at that time. So, and I told him, I said, "I don't have a BA and an MA and a PhD pending, but I can answer your question." Never heard from him again. I hope the Lord awakened him and saved him. But my friend, let's go back. Bless the Lord. Those who are married to Christ are looking for His coming. You tell me that you're saved and you're not looking for the coming of the Lord. I'm not talking about standing out in the big road looking up in the sky. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about going day by day, night after night, reading, studying God's Word, teaching your children God's Word if you've got a young family. But listen, my friend. We can say with the Apostle Paul that we love His appearing. Every born-again believer has no sympathy for the fellowship with anyone who seeks to explain away the second coming of Christ, or with those who teach that the second coming of the Lord means the coming of the Holy Spirit. There are those who teach that the second coming of Christ meant the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and they do this with an open Bible before them. Now, it seemed to me that the Lord's own statement about the coming of the Holy Spirit ought to be sufficient. He said, "If I go away, the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Christ definitely said, "If I go, the Spirit will come." The coming of the Holy Spirit is the going of the Lord. And the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was not the return of Christ back to earth again. That's so plain and simple. Yet, theological professors and teachers who boast of their scholastic training and scholarship and all of their robes and things, listen, they sit in those so-called chair of learning and teach young preachers, my friend. What a tragedy. They teach this false doctrine that Christ came back on the day of Pentecost. How do you know that, Trailblazer? Because I hear these young preachers on the radio and on the television. I hear them spout out these erroneous doctrine. They fail to see this simple fact of truth, that the presence of the Holy Spirit means the bodily absence of the Lord. Isn't that plain, my friend? In Acts 1:11, listen, these two men who stood by the apostles after Christ had gone back to heaven said, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go away into heaven." Yes. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. This same Jesus is coming again. Isn't that grace, my friend? You know, I don't contend with unreligious professors and those things. I don't contend with them. I don't. I just don't. And I argue with no man. I don't debate. The Bible is not made to debate. The Bible is made to be believed. I hold it up here in my hand behind my pulpit, and I say, this is God's word, infallible, unbroken, verbally inspired word. Believe it and be saved. Disbelieve it and go to hell for your trouble. And then I have folks call me and write me about that, saying I'm hard and mean and cruel and blood and guts religion. No, I'm just bringing you God's word, my friend. The Bible says this is his word. This is God's word I hold in my hand. You can believe it and be saved. My friend, don't throw it away. Don't ridicule it. Don't cuss the old trailblazer. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Come in your home there. You may be turned the radio off and kicked out by now and going out in dictators. But my friend, the greatest thing that you'll ever experience, if you ever do, is to come to see that you're a sinner, lost sinner, lost poor old sinner, lost sinner, and that you're alienated from the Lord according to God's word, and that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm bringing a message tomorrow on the Lord's Day. The scripture says in John 10:10, "I will come again. I came that you might have life. I came that you might have life." Oh, my friend, you ought to go read that verse. I believe it's John 10:10. But this is the old trailblazer. I'm back again after weekend, Lord Day, and Lord give us grace to trust him. Folks are not concerned about their soul, not many of them. Some of our folks are not. But my friend, would you just pray for the old trailblazer? I ask you daily, on a daily basis, hourly basis, when you have your prayer time, whether it's private or open prayer meeting, I ask you, we have prayer here on Sunday before our worship time on Sunday night, and we have a man who leads the prayer meeting, and folks will stand up and say, Mr. Leader, I'd like to be prayed for. I'd like my family to be. Would you do that and ask for the old trailblazer? I'm sure you have, if you're a Protestant church, I'm sure you have prayer meeting sometime of the day or the night or the hour, whatever. Maybe it's just two or three of you meet with a pastor in this study on Sunday evening. Pray for the work. Pray for those things. I hope you do. But remember, the old trailblazer loves you. And remember my mailing address, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my phone number here, area code 225-664-8658. Goodbye, and God bless you. Till next time, I'll be back.